Into hour number three, I just retweeted somebody who said that Bitcoin is over 13K, and he at Ben Mesrecht. That tweet, so I retweeted it. Ben's coming on tomorrow, and I'm bringing him back already because Ben's book is absolutely smashing it. The Bitcoin Billionaires, and Bitcoin is skyrocketing
smash,
right now.
Smash.
Let me see, latest price, $13,400. So even when I had him on and we talked about that, and I said, you know, Ben, before getting into the book, I really did not know that much about crypto, honestly. It was just something that I didn't show a lot of interest in. I didn't educate myself on. Kind of scared me a little bit. And those of you, when I said, should I get some, Ben's response to me was something along the lines of, I don't have any myself. I said, why is that? He said, because it could just as easily go to zero as it could go back to 30,000 or more. And then a lot of you smart Alex were coming in with, yeah, hey, Rome, 2009 call, 2011 call. Yeah, I understand that. I get that. Had you gotten in early on and you were perceptive and you rolled the dice or there wasn't that much risk and it only cost a couple hundred bucks, yeah, you'd be done right now. Unlike the rest of us, busting ass. But I will say that I did buy one. And I bought one a few weeks back and it's all right. I'm not going to retire on that, but it's fun to watch what it's doing. I don't know if it's going to stay up there. I'm not even sure the factors, and I read up on it. I try to educate myself. I'm not sure the factors that drive this thing the way it is right now, and I'm sure it could go the other way just as fast, but it's bouncing. So Ben Mesrecht joins us tomorrow to talk about it once again. He's on an unbelievable book tour right now, and that thing is moving up. I wonder if he grabbed any or not. 1-800-636-8686. Julian Edelman coming up later on this hour. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I talked about Bob Lee retiring from ESPN after 40 years. So let's talk about one broadcast icon and now another. Ep 87 of the Jim Rohn podcast. I've done 87 episodes right now. And again, I'd put our book up against anybody else's book. I'm really proud of the archive that we have for the podcast. Pod episode 87 is live right now. This week, my guest is the 40-year broadcasting legend, Bob Costas. It is the second time that Bob has sat down for the long-form side hustle. But it's the first time that we've had a conversation since his departure from NBC. Odds are, if you listen to this show, you're a sports fan. That goes without saying. If you're a sports fan, then you know that the BC in NBC practically stood for Bob Costas for four decades. Heyo!
Heyo!
I mean, my man did everything there is to be done in this sport. In this business, I should say, and did it as well as anybody's ever done it. He anchored the NBA Finals, the Olympics, Triple Crown races, the Super Bowl, pretty much everything in between. But he did mutually part ways with NBC earlier this year. Now, not many broadcasters leave a company and make national news for it, but Bob Costas leaving NBC was national news. And a lot of people rushed in to speculate as to why that happened, how that went down. He and I talked about it. I asked him about how it ended with his long-term employer, and he laid it out with the kind of respect and nuance you'd expect from somebody like Bob Costas.
I am a little bit disappointed, and I take part of the blame for the way it ended. Not that it was terrible, but it wasn't as gracious as the nearly 40 years that I was there. I had already stepped aside from football 2 years prior, but they asked me if I would just come back and host that one Super Bowl because Mike couldn't be there. So I said, sure. A couple of months before that, I was at a journalism symposium at the University of Maryland, and people asked me about CTE and football, and I gave an honest answer. But somehow this went viral, and people at NBC became concerned about whether I was the right person to host the Super Bowl. And not only did I not have a problem with that, I thought they were right, and they seemed to be uncomfortable with my leaning toward journalism and toward commentary, maybe more so than most network broadcasters did. And so because they were uncomfortable with that, I was increasingly uncomfortable with my situation there, and we mutually agreed that we should just settle it and part company. But then I made a mistake, and it's my fault. I agreed to speak with Mark Fainaru-Wada of ESPN, and he did a perfectly honest and professional job But what people focused on coming out of that was I had been kicked off the Super Bowl and somehow I was mad at NBC, neither of which was really true. But you can't be a thinking person and be around something for 40 years and not have some disagreements. But it ended on a discordant note. A lot of people took from this either that I was a hero and everybody at NBC was a villain, or that I was whining about something, even though I'd had a very fortunate career and NBC had enriched me in many ways, and now I was trying to take a shot at them on my way out the door, which was certainly not my intent. And so I feel bad about that. And at least I've now gotten it off my chest.
See, that clip right there is why I do that podcast. I mean, that's really insightful, really personal, honest, and long form. And it's not something that you're really going to get anywhere else. That's the kind of conversation I hope to have every week with these guests on the podcast. Granted, there really are no other guests quite like Bob Costas, but that's the reason why I've done that side hustle. And we got into a number of other things. Understand, this was a conversation that went on for more than 40 minutes. We also talked about his disappointment in failing to secure a sit-down with Roger Goodell during the last few Super Bowls that NBC carried, that Bob was still working.
You know, Bud Selig had his moments of controversy as commissioner of baseball, never said no. Rob Manfred, never said no. I didn't do that much with the NHL, but whenever I asked Gary Bettman, never said no. At the beginning of his tenure, Roger Goodell did several interviews with me, but on the last few Super Bowls, he wouldn't do it. And to me, I like Roger Goodell personally, but to me, you're the commissioner of the NFL. Whatever network is carrying the Super Bowl is entitled to have a legitimate, not a patty cake interview, a legitimate sit-down interview with you, because there are always issues surrounding the NFL, and here's a chance to address them in front of the largest audience in all of American television. And Goodell has sidestepped that the last few times, and that to me was disappointing. In fact, when NBC said that I wasn't the right guy to host the Super Bowl in 2018, I said, you're right about that, but how about this? Why don't you ask Goodell if he'll sit for an interview with me? A live interview, carve out 15, 20 minutes. You got a six-hour pregame show. This will be not only journalistically responsible, it'll be good television, considering all the issues, domestic violence, franchise relocations, officiating, players kneeling, all that stuff. And they asked, and the answer came back very quickly. Nope, not going to do it. That was disappointing to me.
Bob Costas, and you can tell from those two clips that he held nothing back in this podcast. And there's more than 40 more minutes of that on this week's podcast. So you want to make sure you check that out. He also tells a great story about how he got started as a reoccurring guest on David Letterman's show in the 80s. What winning a Stanley Cup means for the city of St. Louis, where he has spent so much time. And why firsthand gambling intel is not always good intel.
I grew up with a dad who was a compulsive gambler. And although he made a good living for a guy in the 60s and 70s, the mortgage was often riding on whether Wilt Chamberlain could make two free throws or if Whitey Ford could get Al Kaline to ground into a double play. So I know that kind of anxiety. And for whatever reason, gambling has never been a draw for me except for one time. Doing the Saturday game of the week with Tony Kubek sometime in the 80s. And so we go to the game on a Friday night at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. I'm going to do the game the next afternoon. And we walk out of this Italian restaurant, and the next day's starting pitcher, who shall remain nameless for the Cardinals, it should be noted, a single man at the time, is walking down the street, and he's got a babe on each arm. And I say, and I have no disapproval of this whatsoever. He was a young man in the prime of his life, perfectly okay with me, but he's the next day's starting pitcher. I say to Kubek, if he gets out of the third inning, I'll be surprised. If my dad were alive, he would want this information. So I say, who do I know has a bookie? And I think of a friend of mine in St. Louis. And I call him up. I say, look, I want you to put $1,000 on the Braves tomorrow. If we win, we'll split it. If we lose, I'll swallow it. This guy went out and threw a complete game two-hitter.
Bob Costas. So good. And like I said, stories for days. 87 eps in. And that one ranks right near the top. I posted the link to listen on my Twitter feed yesterday. And my favorite comment so far is from Mike Henry, who said, quote, as smooth as they come, economic word usage, wonderful tempo. I don't think Bob uttered a single throwaway syllable during the entire pod. End quote. Extremely well said, Mike. Extremely well said. And it's true. I mean, he literally, not only the best of our generation, he's the best that there's ever been at that type of thing. So episode 87 of the Jim Rohn podcast is now up on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, JimRohn.com. An amazing listen, a really easy listen, and good, good stuff. And he could not have been more generous with his time. I really appreciate Bob, and I appreciate that. If you want to be a part of any future episodes yourself, get in. Lob me a telephone call. Hit me up on voicemail. Write this number down. This will put you on the pod if you're good enough. And more importantly, it puts you right in my phone. And I've been known to do this at night. I'll pick it up. I've had some really good conversations with clones and a couple of really bad ones. 949, write this down, 949-385-0447. If you call it right now, I'm not going to pick it up. I'm on the air. 949-385-0447. Throw those digits into your phone. Hit me up anytime about anything. No podcast next week. I am off next week. Got to get that summer vacay in now. And then the week after that, it returns with somebody that I've been really anxious to talk to, but I am not going to jinx. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. Julian Edelman is now out. So that means the rest of the hour is wide open unless we hustle up and find somebody else. At Squirrel2 tweets, since I am such a close colleague of Bob Costas, was I discussed at length during your podcast? Yours, Jeff in Richmond. Hold up, Alvy. Back in the day, Bob knew the jungle pretty well. Bob would come on this show, and we didn't do long-form interviews like that. Again, this is the reason why I do that podcast. But Bob listened to the show, and Bob's son knew the show. And Bob, in fact, knew Jeff in Richmond. And when Jeff in Richmond found out that Bob knew who he was, Jeff in Richmond certainly got some mileage out of that. This is Bob Costas. And this is not something somebody fed Bob, because that's not how he is. Bob was speaking about Jeff in Richmond because he knew who Jeff in Richmond was.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Romy, how you doing?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Good. Before I get started, I realize the best I can hope for is to be the second best caller of the day, because my radio listening began with Jeff from Richmond citing major figures of literature, military history, and the world of country and western on a bizarre and inspired rant. So I am just looking to place here. The winner's laurels belong to Jeff.
You know, I can appreciate that, Bob. And with all due respect, I have to say, because the two of you have a close relationship, as Jeff has referenced many times, you might in fact be biased.
Could be. Could be. People call Jeff from Richmond's name out to me in airport terminals. There's some sort of bizarre connection that the two of us have going, and I don't quite know what to make of it.
And that's got to make you feel good no matter what town you're in.
It does, absolutely. It makes my day. At that point, it's smooth sailing.
Adam Hawk, just go ahead and put those headphones on. All right, now, you are a great sports talk radio honk, dork, geek. I know you appreciate the legacy of this show, and you're doing some catching up. And I always get a kick out of you, Hawk, when you hear something from back in the day as a radio guy who's worked on a number of other shows. What is your reaction when you hear Bob Costas back in the day referencing Jeff in Richmond the way he did?
Honestly, it's like jaw-dropping, because Bob Costas is the height of broadcasting, and for him to name-check a clone and a caller and a smack-off guy and to just do it so effortlessly, there was nothing forced about that at all. I will say, as much as I love the Toby and Houston shout-outs from, like, Kevin Durant and Andrew Bogut, this one is almost even more shocking because it's Bob freaking Costas shouting out just randomly to Jeff in Richmond and just doing it so flawlessly and effortlessly. Like, he knew the show cold. That was great.
And he knew Jeff, too. That was not just something somebody fed him. He knew what Jeff's content was. He knew what he was about. He knew what was important to Jeff in Richmond. Like, he knew the show. Bob listened to the show.
Yeah, that's wild. And, I mean, it's one thing to listen to the show. It's another to retain the show. And then it's another to retain the callers of the show. So that was excellent recollection by Bob Costas and a great shout-out.
There you go. Want to see a reaction. But in fairness to Bob Costas, this is part of what makes him Bob Costas, his retention. I mean, I think he's got a photographic memory. The guy's never forgotten anything. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, he's never, ever, ever sounded better. He's retired, effectively. Not really retired. He still does stuff with MLB Network. I think he's going to do some things with HBO and some other projects. So he's not retired. He retired from NBC. But he's never sounded better. No, but of course he retained what he heard on the show. But that is pretty mind-blowing. That people, and I don't think he said that for effect, that he would walk through airports and people would drop Jeff in Richmond's name on him. Amazing. Rome, give Ike my email if he wants to book MLB legend and now Hall of Fame president Tim Mead. What better podcast guest as we head to the dog days of summer than Mead? I can text or call my friend Tim to get him booked, and I won't even charge you a booking fee. Thanks, John in Huntington Beach. Bro, how many times are you going to pick up that name that you've dropped? I'll say it again. Tim Mead is a legend. Tim Mead is a great, great guy. We've done business with Tim Mead for years. I've seen Tim Mead at the ballpark. Full disclosure, he took Logan underneath the stadium for a batting lesson with one of their hitting coaches once. This is an enormous Tim Mead house. I'm just skeptical, John, that he would even acknowledge you or even know you or that you'd be friends. And more importantly, John, I do not need your help to get to Tim Mead. But you can go ahead and stop dropping his name anytime you want. Why do I need your help? I have Ike. Ike turned Bob Costas. We didn't need you for that, John. Or do you not know Bob Costas?
That Garrett Ritt guy knows how to book.
That Garrett Ritt guy does know how to book. He got Mark Cuban. We hadn't had him on for a while. And if the one guest that I do not want to jinx comes through the week after my vacation, man, Ritt may as well run for president.
That Garrett Ritt guy knows how to book.
That Garrett Ritt guy does know how to book.
It's lit!
It's Ritt!
It's lit!
That Garrett Ritt guy knows how to book.
He's older than dirt, but he knows how to book.
It's lit!
Dear Rome, I can't believe, good job, Garrett. I can't believe Bob Lee is calling it a career. When you talk about all-around respected and great guys in that business, his name will always be in the top one or two of that list. Having said that, I will always remember Robert for being just a little bit on the chubby side. Signed, Phil in Missouri. Less than 5% body fat haver. Having said that, whenever somebody starts a sentence with having said that, they didn't mean what they said previously to this. And somebody's about to get disrespected. Not to be disrespectful. Whenever somebody starts a sentence with not to be disrespectful, somebody's about to get disrespected. Come on, man. That's what you think of when you think of Bob Lee. The first thing you think of? That he was, quote, a little bit on the chubby side? What I think of when I think of Bob Lee is an unbelievable journalist. And a great dude. Super guy. In a business where there's a lot of D-bags, backstabbers, paranoid people. That was a really good dude. Romeo, it's well known you don't wear jerseys, but if the Lakers sign JR, will you rock a Smith jersey during a show? Mike in Green Bay, maybe. Have you ever seen me wear a jersey? No, because I don't think I have since I was 12. I might. At the very least, I'll put a bowl of soup on my desk. Maybe a bowl of soup and a jersey. And if they don't sign him, I'll burn Rob Pelinka's jersey. Or Linda Rambis, since she's calling the shots. Or, since she probably doesn't have one, her old man Kurt Rambis, since she's calling the shots. The Lakers thinking that they can get Kawhi is awesome. And by awesome, I mean really funny and ridiculous and absurd. All right, still ahead. The Reds did not have a really good night. And because I like them so much, I'm trying not to share my thoughts on this, but they really did not have a good night. They played the aforementioned Angels. We had Julian Edelman, but he canceled. I want to find out why that is, but not a big deal. It happens. It happens to us all.
Happens to us all.
I do want to talk about Cody B and the fact that ladies keep getting on the field to try to hug and smooch on Cody Bellinger. Again, that's not cute. That's not cool. That's not hot. That's not funny. It's bad things happen. You cannot get on the field. I don't care who you are. 14-year-old girl, 40-year-old lady, 50-year-old dude. Stay the hell off the field. They can't come into the stands, and we can't go onto the field. All that's coming up, and our phone lines are open. Where are you? 1-800-636-8686.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so I mentioned that the Lakers, when they were trying to recruit Paul George, they came at him with a poem. Didn't work so well. I said, what's next for Kawhi? A haiku? A limerick? What do you got? This guy's got a Lakers haiku. Hi, Kawhi, fun guy. Drake is weird and rubs players. So join the Lakers. Not bad. If it fits the parameters. Hey, Rome. I totally think the Lakers are going to land Kawhi Leonard. Signed, the guy that thinks that every waitress or stripper is trying to pick him up. Liam Vancouver. You know, the old, oh, you're not like everybody else. You're different. I like you. Yeah, I've been here 3 years. You're not like all the other guys who come through here. And then you drop like a $2 bill. Oh, yeah, you're exactly like everybody else who's been here. It's Liam Vancouver. All right, so Eric in L.A. called earlier and said, man, I'm sick and tired of Matt in L.A. calling this show every single day. He does not represent L.A. He's a dusthead, the kind of guy that you see talking to himself on the bus stop. Stands to reason, Matt in L.A. has responded to a lot less. Matt has responded to a lot less than somebody calling him a dusthead.
You're a dusthead.
The kind of guy that you see at a bus stop talking to himself. So if he's responded to a lot less, you knew he'd respond to this. Let's go to L.A. Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt.
Rome Skillet from Vernon and Vermont to Inglewood and Imperial Highway to Alondra and Avalon. Yo, Derek, I'm around. I'm repping L.A. every day, not only in the jungle, not only in Gardena, wherever throughout these L.A. streets. You can see me all over social. I ain't hard to find, my dude. And typical Clipper fan, Romy, wishing on a star like you were Rolls Royce. Hey, man, when Ballsy gets that deal done, talk to us then, Derek. When Ballsy erects a banner in the Lakers barn, hit us up then, Derek. And ain't no dust being smoked here, son. Only haters like yourself and blunts, fool. So hit me up whenever, bro. That's all I got, Jim. Wore James Kelly's garden hose arms and R2-D2 forehead. Wore Billy Clarkson paying Chick-fil-A to open its doors on a Sunday. Outro.
Matt in L.A. Man, Matt in L.A.'s beefing with a lot of people now. D.A., Eric in L.A. And Matt said it. I'm not hard to find. I'm all over social. I'm in L.A. I'm in Gardena. I'm repping all of Los Angeles. Not just on the airs, but off the air as well. Outro from Vernon to Vermont. The city of Vernon or the street? I used to actually rep the city of Vernon, believe it or not, at work. I tried to sell Toshiba phone systems in Vernon, the city of commerce, the city of industry, down in the meatpacking district. It went as horribly as you might imagine for me. I did not rep well. Not me, not Toshiba, nothing. Vernon spent a lot of time on the 710. And man, those meatpacking plants, that smell, I'll never forget that smell. I bet I didn't last 30 days there before I went sniveling and running back to Santa Barbara to get into radio. But I'll never forget that smell. Man, that went badly, really badly. I sold one phone system during my time there. And that was good, man. That was one more phone system. I sold one more phone system than I did dictation systems for Harris Lanier. And I fell right into that one. You salespeople can relate to this, right? So I'm cold calling, and I'm just getting my ass kicked. Nothing's going my way. And I drop in on this one company. And incredibly enough, somebody selling the exact same product had come in a couple of weeks before, but had not come back, was on vacation. And I went in there with the same exact product, maybe the same price, maybe a better price. Brought my sales manager in. She closed it. I got that sale. Man, that guy was so pissed. I think the gal who was making the decision kind of took a fancy to me, which would not be surprising, you know, what with how I look and all and how I am. I don't even know how it went down. I just know I got that sale, and that bought me like another 2 weeks. But the guy who didn't get that sale was pissed. Pissed. You mean that, Vernon, Matt? The street or the city? I'm going to go with the city. I think it's the city. City of industry, city of commerce, and Vernon. Never went back. All right, now, hope you enjoyed that little... Did you enjoy that story? Any sales reps out there? Hey, Mr. Prospect, I'm going to be in your neighborhood on the 13th and the 15th. What works better for you? Oh, damn, I have to answer. He didn't leave me a way out. The 15th? Great. 4 o'clock or 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock? Awesome. See you then. What just happened? I don't want to talk to him. I used to try and sell that crap on the phone. People like literally would want to come through the phone and knock me the hell out. What, do I look like an idiot? Hey, Mr. Salesman, or Mr. Prospect, if I had an idea that could make you 50% more money and save you 15% more time, would that interest you? And they'd say things to us like, who wouldn't be interested in that? Who doesn't want to save time and money? Hey, Mr. Prospect, if I had a product that could save you 50% of your money and 50% of your time, would you be interested? I don't know, sales rep. If I had a way to knock you the hell out with one punch, would I be interested in that? Yeah, I suppose you would, sir. Goodbye. Sales reps, man, I got nothing but love and respect for y'all. Tough job. It's like Glengarry Glen Ross. You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch. Sitting there in the bar. Yeah, it's a tough racket. The toughest racket. Why do you think I kill myself here every single day? Why do you think I'm 30 years in and still coming in 3 hours plus before my show every single day? Because I don't want to go back to Vernon and sell more phone systems.
You call yourself a salesman,
you son of a bitch. You better hustle up, Hawk, or you'll be selling phone systems in the city of industry. Wah! Thank you. Hey, Romy. Time the hell out. Did you just... This guy's great. Did you just subtly slide in that you're off next week? No!
No!
Regards that flight attendant that has to tell Rome he's on the downgrade list next week. Geoff and Lincoln. War Ike, guest hosting for 3 hours, and Hawk having to change his bedpan.
No!
I think that's kind of funny. I did. See, you like the way I did that? I did subtly slide that in. Where I said, all right, so this podcast has Bob Costas, and then I'm off next week, but the week after that, I've got this guy that I want to mention by name. Wait, what? Yo, clones, you know I get... contractually, 6 weeks a year off. I rarely take all that time, but I have it. And if I don't use it, I lose it. Damn, Rome, why do you take so much vacation? Because I get so much vacation. And I haven't taken that much this year, right? So for halfway through the year, and I've got 6 weeks, I got to jam it in there. It starts in the summer. You know this. All right, we do not have Julian Edelman. We may try and reschedule that. In the meantime, that is an opportunity for you all. When we come back, stay the hell off the field. Buying a ticket does not give you license to get onto the field. Even if you mean no ill will, even if you're only there to kiss on a player or hug on a player, that player doesn't know that. It doesn't matter what you're there to do. Stay the hell off the field. They cannot come into the stands to get you. You cannot get on the field to get them. That and your phone calls when we return. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Rich Ackerman. I'm even later this time than I was last hour, Rich. Let's get to that ATP. I answer your Ask the Pros question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now, this is a good ATP. This guy nails it. Fair question with some attitude. All right, vacation man. Spill the beans. Where are you going? Back to Wisco or somewhere less fat that serves salad and doesn't suck? Mike in Mass. Damn, Mikey. Back to Wisco or somewhere less fat that serves salad and doesn't suck? Wisco does not suck. And although I can't remember ever doing it, I bet I could find a salad there. The answer is, we are going back to Wisco. And I checked the weather. Apparently, thunderstorms every freaking day next week. Mike in Mass. Spotted cows. No mac and cheese. We're not going to Madison this time. We're going to hit up Eagle River. So if any of you are in the area, you're going to see us. Unless, of course, there are thunder showers every single day, and then you may not. Mike in Mass. Good job, Mike. This says, hey, Kawhi, if I had a team that could offer 50 or could offer 50% less wins and pay you much less, would you be interested? Son, Rob Pelinka. Rome, what's all this talk about dust heads? Dust? Never heard of it. All clean, spick and span down here. Regards, DA's cutting room floor. Hey, Vadi, I see what you did there. You said the DA ran long, i.e., there is nothing on the cutting room floor. I see what you did there, Vadi.
You're a dust head.
That goes back to Eric saying that Matt in L.A. is a dust head.
You're a dust head.
You're a dust head. The kind of guy that you see talking to yourself at the bus stop. Matt's not running around talking to himself. He just calls me up and talks to me. As far as him being, quote, a dust head, I don't even know what a dust head is. It's got something to do with meth, probably.
You're a
smoking
dust
meth or crack. I don't know. I don't care. Eric was serious, though. Stop repping L.A., Matt. People are going to think that this town is all about you, and it's not. He said, I'm from South Central. I'm not going to mess with anybody from South Central. It's tough. It's real down there. And when a guy does represent like that, hey, man, I'm from South Central, that always gets my attention. That is a tough, tough part of the town. All right, then. Let's see. Morro Bay sounds cool. It's a good place. Really cool place. Chill place. Nice little vacation community. Curtis in Morro Bay. You made it in. Curtis, how are you?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's up?
I wanted to tell you about my Father's Day that I just had that would, I think, compete with the Chicklet story that you told last Wednesday. It's not a comedy in regards to what that story was, more serious. My girlfriend and I and my son were backpacking down the Arroyo Seco River, which is on the backside of Big Sur, and on day three, we got to a point on the river where we just couldn't go down. It was just too dangerous for me to, have my girlfriend and my son go down. So to make a long story short, we put a message in a water bottle, threw it down what they call the waterfall, which we were going to rappel down, and just waited for the best thing to happen. And the best thing did happen. Two other people on the river actually got that water bottle, read the note, got back to the campsite where we were going to be headed to after 25 miles of going down this river, and got it to the camp host, who sent out the search and rescue. And 8 hours later, we had a chopper hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
So where were you that whole time? As you were waiting to be picked up and rescued, where were you? Were you still on the river?
We were still on the river. We backtracked about a quarter mile up the river to this beautiful beach, and made dinner. And we're just hoping that the water bottle got found, because we heard some voices down through the water chute where we were supposed to be headed. And, about 10:30, we thought, there's no way that they would have found it. And to be honest, actually, the CHP who helicoptered us out of there, they said that no one in U.S. history has ever been found by a message in a bottle. We're actually the first people ever to be found that way. And we were just lucky enough that they did. And we didn't have to depend on, you know, other people that knew we were, you know, on this trip and waiting for them to realize that we were actually missing. But it was just a perfect set of circumstances in regards to getting this message in a bottle and these guys being there at the right
Curtis,
time.
Curtis, was there? Did you not bring your carrier pigeon?
Yeah. And so,
all right,
thank you.
That's amazing, my man. I got it. Thank you, Curtis. Give me a chance to react to that. He just said it was a normal water bottle with a normal message and normal pen. Did you just say that you, your wife, and kid were going to die going over a waterfall? And you sent a message in a bottle and could somehow get to shore where you got stranded, but it was cool because you made dinner and you waited? And then authorities came to get you and informed you that you were the first ones in the history of the country to be rescued by a message in a bottle. That's your Father's Day story. Not a big Police fan either. Or Sting. Yeah, that's it, Rome. I've listened to you for 10 years. Me and my wife were obsessed. Great. I just was never that guy. But I always liked that song. But never had a reason to play it until now. Good story, bro, I guess. I'm skeptical. I don't really think you were going down some river and all of a sudden it got too aggressive and you got scared and you were about to plunge to your death. But luckily you had a water bottle and put a note in it and threw that out. Thanks, Ike. And you were rescued. I hate it when stories like that come at the end of the program. Where's that story in segment one? The reaction is, Stucknut's in first. Cool story, bro. We have a phrase that we throw around when something like that happens. Top that, Magic. Anybody got a better story than that? Top that, Magic. 1-800-636-8686. Curtis, you sounded sincere, and I'm going to be very careful how I do this, but I'm going to call bullcrap on that. Bro, you were not saved from a message in a bottle. Come on, man, that can't be real. You can understand where I might be skeptical of that. And if it's going to be a message in a bottle, man, at least slam that into a bottle of Coke. A water bottle? Bro, it's not going well for you right now on Twitter. You're lucky that you did get that in at the end. Do you not have time to wax your car? New 303 touchless sealant will save you hours. It takes minutes to apply. You simply spray on and then you rinse off. It protects up to 2 times longer than traditional waxes. More protection and shine, less effort and time. It is available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thanks to Matt Chapman, A's third baseman. Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports, NFL Insider. Really happy for Curtis and his family. Saved by a message in a bottle. See you tomorrow. I'm out.